And the first 13 years wasn't any problem at all. And Lord helped them, would have been good to us. We helped them, me and another missionary, we helped to get started the church. And we started our own Bible Institute and stuff. And Lord bless. Got a lot of good memories from down there. And people I'm going to see, some's already in heaven waiting for us. And there's going to be several more that's going to be going there. And we'll see them one day again. But my part of my heart is still there and always will be. But anyway, but the Lord sometimes changes things, and so we prayed about what to do, and really didn't know what to do. Yes, that's just how it was. We knew we couldn't stay and didn't want to go, so we thought, well, Lord, we'll come home, see what the Lord's got in mind, and then just see what He had for us. Well, anyway, we realized we couldn't go back. I may have could have took a gamble and went down 3,000 miles south. We was right on the Amazon River. And down in southern Brazil, it still gets hot there too, but not near as long as there was in the Amazon. But we just didn't have any leading of the Lord whatsoever. And the Lord's got it all under control. I understand that. Well, anyway, so we come home. We was praying about what to do. And we just felt like, well, Lord, you're in control. And we'll go from here. Well, anyway, we had joined Brother Eddie Calloway's church. Now, that's my wife's uncle. Matter of fact, we were married in that church. That's where I'm from, over that area. And so we go back a long time with them, naturally. And but anyways, I was talking to Brother Eddie, and I just told him, I said, you know, I've got to learn the Spanish language. I said, you know, I can, Portuguese is close to Spanish. And he looked at me, and he said, Joe, are you sure that the Lord don't want you to go back to Brazil? I said, well, I would love to go back. I'd go back now if I could. And if I had the green light, I'd go back right now. But, you know, the Lord won't let us do that, and He's got a reason. Well, anyway, he said, well, I've been praying for 3 years that the Lord send a missionary to the Hispanic people in the Beaver Dam, Hartford area. He said, we go over and shop at Walmart and give them a tract and smile at them. That's all we can do. And he said, those people need a church. Well, anyway, and I really wasn't thinking that way. I didn't come home to start a Hispanic church. You know, I was just praying, well, Lord, I done had it all worked out, you know, and Lord would call us, probably go down to southern Brazil, something like that. But it would be, I refuse to make a guess, just a geographical guess in God's people sacrificing to put a missionary on the field. He needs to know where he's going. Well, anyway, and know that of the Lord. Well, anyway, the next morning, Lord just I woke up about 4 or 5 o'clock in the morning. And the last words I could remember as I woke up, come to my mind, was, you know, those people need a church. That's what Brother Eddie had said. So the Lord uses, you know, sometimes the Lord uses a man of God. Sometimes He'll use a woman. Sometimes He'll use another Christian just to help give us directions of what we ought to do. So I feel like with all my heart that's what the Lord wanted us to do. Well, so we started studying Spanish, Portuguese, Spanish. Kind of close, but it's not as close as you think, especially if you're my age. And so we went to Mexico for 6 weeks, and then January, and that really helped out, and because we was forced into the language and got to preach 5 times in Spanish while I was there. And so we come back and started the church, and I think it was March or April we started the church. And we just got a handful coming, but we've had 2 to get saved so far, and one was a 43-year-old man. The other one, and he moved on because he couldn't find any work. And we got a 15-year-old boy that's a real blessing. He come to the altar, responded to the invitation, and his name is Emmanuel. And who knows what God may do with this young man. And he come, and there is one other Hispanic church there in Beaver Dam. It's a charismatic. Well, I'm just, you know, I'm not of that flavor at all. And anyway, so he said, well, I went to that one church. Well, I knew which one he's talking about, and he said this. He said, I got a feeling. And I asked him, you know, and I was talking about his soul. And he said, oh, well, I got a feeling. I looked at him. I said, well, Emmanuel, I said, being saved, I said, it's not about having a feeling. It's about facts. And you've got to know who your Savior is. If you're saved, you know who your Savior is. Amen? I was there when it happened. I got born again. I was there when it happened. And anyway, so I said, can I take the Bible? And I took the Bible and explained to him, went down to Romans Road and some other verses, and he bowed his head and asked the Lord to save him. And as he was praying the sinner's prayer, he started weeping. And I thought, well, I've never seen this very often, you know, not very often at all. And about 2 weeks later, I said, anybody got a testimony on a Sunday night? And he got stood up. He just stood up, 15-year-old boy. Most 15-year-old boys won't stand up and give a testimony for nothing. But he stood up and he said, I want to thank the Lord for saving me. He said, I want to thank the Lord for having Brother Joe for you and Jose, his my name in Spanish, of course, and for you and Hermana Lisa, they call that's what their sister Lisa, for coming here and starting this church. And if they're the only one to get saved, it'll be worth it. But I know there's going to be more than that, okay? And in September, we're going to start an English school, and just for one night a week. And I don't care if they learn English or not. I could care less. But it's a tool to get the gospel to them. So we got a lot going on, and, you know, we're still the outsiders by far. We're still the outsiders. And but, you know, I know we get a little aggravated of them. No doubt some, many of them are illegal. I understand that, but they still got a soul Jesus died for. Amen? Now, I'm not going to do anything to harbor the illegals by any means, but I want to have a chance to preach for them before they deport them. Amen? But anyway, that's what we're doing, and we have services. And tomorrow night, we have our services. And, of course, as a missionary, I had my support when I was in Brazil, but anytime a missionary comes home for any reason, he loses support, a lot of it. But our mission agreed that we could stay with the mission and everything, and so everything, all that's worked out. And it's natural we lost a good bit of support, but that's natural. But if the Lord's in it, it'll be all right. Amen. I'm not worried about that. I just believe that all that's going to take care of itself. So anyway, that's what we're doing, and I do want you to get a prayer card in the back after church. Pray for us that we'll reach these people. I believe the Lord's coming pretty soon. Amen. And if He does, you know, I just want to, if I go by the clouds or if I go by the clods, whichever way I'm going to go, I'm going to go. All right? And you are too. And the main thing is, when we get to heaven, I want to look back and have a little bit of satisfaction of what I've done for God. Amen? Now, I don't think any of us are going to be satisfied. All right? None of us. None of us. We're going to wish, once we see those pearly gates or whatever heaven all is, what we see in the Bible, and whatever it is, we're going to wish we'd have done more. Every one of us. Okay? All right. So that's pretty much what we're doing. And I covet your prayers, please, because if the time is short, then we just, in Brazil, many of them got under the gospel for five, it wasn't uncommon for 4 or 5 months before they got saved. And it just wasn't that uncommon. Sometimes they'd get saved earlier, but often 3 or 4 or 5 months. But if that's what it takes, that's what it takes. But, you know, they've got to see themselves lost. They've got to see they got a need. And it's this tremendous burden that we have, and the Lord just give it to us. And please pray for us. Okay. All right, let's go. And I'm not going to keep you long. It's 7:30. We started at 7. I'll be done before 8 o'clock, okay? I promise you. All right, go to Genesis chapter number 24. Genesis chapter number 24. And we're going to try to bring a message a little bit, maybe a little different tonight. Do a little typology. If you've gone to Tabernacle, I graduated from Tabernacle down in South Carolina, and I still got a little of that South Carolina twang. I know I do, but I can't get rid of it. And but I got that in Dr. Seitler sitting under him, and what a great man of God he was. Well, anyway, and if you know her, or if you ever heard Brother Seitler preach, you know he preached a lot on typology, and I enjoy it. Okay, but this here is going to be a little different. Genesis chapter number 24, let's read the first 5 verses, okay? And Abraham was old and well stricken in age, and the Lord had blessed Abraham in all things. And Abraham said unto his eldest servant of his house that ruled over all that he had, put, I pray thee, thy hand under my thigh. And I will make thee swear by the Lord, the God of heaven and the God of earth, that thou shalt not take a wife unto my son or the daughter of the Canaanites among whom I dwell. But thou shalt go into my country, my kindred, and take a wife unto my son Isaac. And the servant said unto him, peradventure the woman will not be willing to follow me unto this land. Must I needs bring thy son again into the land from whence thou camest? Let's pray. Father, thank you, Lord, for your goodness. Thank you, Lord, for the privilege and opportunity it is to present the work here and as well as to preach. And I do pray, Lord, for the Grace Baptist Church and also the schools. There's a lot of work, no doubt, that's going on there. And I pray you'll bless this ministry, your hand to be upon it, as it has down through these years under Brother Richardson's leadership. So, Lord, help me now in just these few minutes. I don't want to do anything in my own strength. I couldn't if I wouldn't. I couldn't, and I just don't want to. I want God to use me, and I pray that you'll just help me in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to preach tonight on this thought, characteristics of a servant. Now, most of the time on this right here, we think of Abraham as the father. We think, of course, Isaac's the son of Jesus. We think the servant, the Holy Ghost, and Rebecca, of course, would be the church. But I'm not going that route tonight. I'm going a little different. Their eldest servants, now I think it was Eliezer, okay? Don't say who his name is, and it's not important, but I'm sure that's who it was. Okay, he's a prime example of a servant. Now, I believe that we're all going to wish we'd have done more, like I said a while ago. Once we close our eyes and open our eyes in heaven, we're going to wish we'd have done more, without a doubt. But the truth is, we will only be remembered by, in some way, by the lives that we've affected. I want to do more, and when I do more, I'm going to affect somebody, okay? My life as a missionary is to affect people's lives. That's what it's all about. As a Christian, our main objective, of course, God, yes, we've got to live holy. I understand that. We've got to try to stay in the will of God. That's a full-time job right there for me. I don't know about you, but it is for me. But the point is, my job, I need to affect people for Christ, okay? Now, this man right here was a servant. And I tell you what, there's characteristics in this man's life right here that I promise you that will help us tonight, okay? Now, in Genesis chapter 4, now I'm kind of looking at it this way here. If you kind of imagine this servant, Abraham tells him, and you know the story, he's going to go to Mesopotamia, he's going to get a bride. Okay, if you look, now here's what I want you to, the comparison. I want you to look at this as your life, your spiritual life. This man's trip as your spiritual life. And I'm going to tell you something. If we can compare ourselves to this man, we will affect somebody along the way. I promise you. And that's what it's all about. You know, in South Carolina, there was a couple named Joe and Gloria West. They're both in heaven tonight. Great couple. They were married over 50 years. Just fantastic. Brother Joe worked at Walmart. There's nothing wrong with that. He was a greeter, you know, and I went in there and I said, "Hello, Mr. Walmart, how you doing?" And we all picked at him and had fun at him. And anyway, at one time I asked him, was at church or somewhere, I may have been at his house, I don't remember. But we was talking, I said, "Brother Joe, let me ask you something." I said, "You're 80 years old." I said, "You know, and he just had a common house. No, it did just, you know, wasn't poor, but certainly wasn't rich. But anyway, I asked him, I said, "Why do you work at Walmart?" I said, "You know, you're up in age, won't you just kind of enjoy life a little bit?" He said, "You know, Brother Joe," he said, "the older I get," he said, "there's just things of this world just don't interest me. It's like they did when I was younger." And he said, "Besides that," he said, "I don't make a lot of money here, but this money that I make here keeps missionaries like you on the field." And I wanted to hide under a rock. I mean, I said, "That's not the answer I wanted to hear, you know." Yeah, he said, "I don't make much money, but what I'd make, I'd help to try to," and they did. They give it to missions. It's just a great, just a godly man, but he affects people's lives. Now, I'm telling you tonight, I'm 53 now, okay? I'll be 54 in just a couple months. And I've got more years behind me than I got in front of me, without a doubt. Okay? I don't want to live to be 108. I promise you. I do not. All right? But anyway, the point I'm getting across is this right here. The most important thing in our life as a Christian to be a servant. It's not to be somebody, but it's to be a servant. Whatever God wants us to do. I don't have to be a preacher to be a servant. You don't have to have a position to be a servant. God just wants you to be a servant. All right? Now, I'm going to give you some things in the life of this, the characteristics in this life, in this man's life, and I promise you it will help us tonight. Okay, look at verse number 4. Genesis 24:4. "But thou shalt go." Now, here's the command right here. Abraham talks to him. He said, "Thou shalt go into my country, to my kindred, and take a wife unto my son Isaac." Now, first thing I want to say to you is fear failure. As a servant, fear failure. So what are you talking about? This servant said in verse number 5, he said, he said, "Thy servant said unto him, Peradventure the woman will not be willing to follow me into this land. Must I needs bring thy son into the land from which thou camest?" This servant did not want to fail, but he had, to some degree, he feared failure. And I'm going to tell you something as a servant. I'll tell you what, I'm going somewhere with this. You take an electrician that fears electricity, he'll probably live longer than the one that don't, okay? Now, we as a servant, if we realize, and what I'm telling you is, if we realize we can fail, everybody here is not too good to fail. There's not a one of us here that's too good to fail. Every one of us. I don't want you to be paranoid about it, but to some degree, fear failure. That will help you keep in line of what you're supposed to be. Now, this servant here, Abraham asked him a big thing to do. I mean, I'll be honest with you. Why don't you, some of you here, like myself, you got children. I've got a daughter that's married. He got 2 grandkids. I got 4 kids. Only one of them's not married, and he don't have any sense. He probably won't ever get married. But anyway, he's like his daddy. Okay, but anyway, what if you had a daughter, okay, and here comes this hairy leg come up, knock on your door, says, "Hello." He said, "Hello." He said, "I want your daughter. My master wants him. What would you do?" Now, I know the customs were different in that day, but this servant feared failure. And I'm going to tell you something, that put something in the heart, and you'll see as the message progresses, to a degree, he didn't want to fail. He feared failure, and because of that, that put him in a different gear. If we live our Christian life, whatever, you know what gear we're going to be in? Granny gear. That's it. Whatever. I don't want a whatever attitude. Jesus is coming back. We got to do something. Listen, it takes the Holy Ghost to bring conviction upon somebody. When they come into our churches, when somebody's doing the rest right here, now I know you don't have any control about that, but it ought to put something in our heart to look at it and say, "God, you got to do something. I can't do it. You got to do something." But I'm going to tell you something, all good old Holy Ghost conviction anymore, I don't know, it's almost a rare thing, it seems like. And I'm not blaming anybody but myself. Secondly, look in verse number 10. I really like this right here. I got to watch time. Like this. "And the servant took 10 camels and the camels of his master, and he departed. For all the good of his master were in his hand. And he arose and went to Mesopotamia unto the city of Nahor." Number 2, bring as much of the master as you can with you. Amen? Amen? This world don't want to see us, folks. They just don't want to see us, you know? If they see Joe Edge, they're not seeing the right thing, and they're looking at somebody that's capable of failing them. But I'm going to tell you something. If I can bring the master with me, if I can bring the property of the master with me, if they can get a glimpse of the master, that's what's going to make the difference. This servant here, now he thought himself, "Now what am I going to do? The master give me a big something to go get a bride for his son? Now, I mean, this is big. What am I going to do?" He said, "I put no confidence in myself." He brought the master's stuff with him. Amen. I'm going to tell you something. That's one of the greatest things. If I can get to the place, and I'm trying. If I can get me out of the way, I think I could be a lot better. Amen? But what we got to do is, Chris, try as a servant, we got to realize God has got to work His plan through our lives. Amen? And the only problem He has is us. All right? Listen, the world's always been bad. It's always been bad, and it's getting worse. But I'm going to tell you something, the world's got nothing to do with Him working through us. The only problem He has with Him working through us is us. Alright? And this servant here, he took the master, he took the camels of the master, he took the goods of the master. They was all in his hands. Why? Because he wanted to show whoever this person is. He didn't know who it was. He didn't know if she's fat, ugly. He didn't know nothing about her. And it probably didn't care. But all he wanted, he said he did not want this woman to see him. He wanted her to see the goods of his master. Now, thirdly, look right here. Look at verse number 11. Verse number 11. I like this. He made the trip to Mesopotamia. Now, to begin with, if you look on a map, if they's in the land of Canaan, Mesopotamia, kind of due southwest, southeast a little bit. Well, there's a desert right there. They probably didn't go across that desert. I think the trade route was up there and down through the Euphrates rivers. And anyway, long way. If that's the route he went, that's a long way. Okay, because all by camel. No tell. I don't have a clue how long. I never didn't study to see how long, but he went a long way to get there. All right. Well, he finally got there, and look what he says in verse number 11. He made his camels to kneel down without the city by a well of water at the time of the evening, when the time that the women go out to draw water. And he said, O Lord God of my master. Now notice, now I want you to notice a repetition this man says about his master. O Lord God of my master Abraham, I pray thee, send me good speed this day. Show kindness unto my master Abraham. Behold, I stand here by the well of water, and the daughters of the men of the city come out to draw water. And let it be come to pass that the damsel of whom I shall say, let down thy pitcher, I pray thee, that I may drink, and she shall say, drink, and I will give thy camels drink also. Let them the same be she that thou hast appointed for thy servant Isaac, and thereby shall I know that thou hast showed kindness unto my master. Now, pray and realize that it's in God's hand. Amen? You see, this servant done all he could do. What more could he do? I mean, he's obedient to his master. He didn't complain. Yeah, he feared failure. But even that, Abraham told him, said, well, now listen, if you go and she don't want to come, you're relieved of it. You've done your job. Now, we go out and we try to win people to the Lord, and we want to win more. Naturally, we want more. We preach. We want to see more response. You teach Sunday school. You Sunday school teachers week after week after week after week. And I know sometimes you think those words are just going on deaf ears, but they're not. But I'm telling you what, do everything you can. Pray and realize that it's in God's hand. But it's notable to notice here that this servant here, he was going for a specific reason, and he did not want to get the wrong girl. Now, I'm going to tell you, it was important to him because of his master. Not because of him, because of his master. It's this man's life was about his master. And you know, as you look at it, if you think about this trip as our spiritual life since we got saved, all right? If you think about that, and how many of us can say, since I got saved, the master's been number one? I can't say that. I wish I could, but I can't. I want to say it, and I can say it right now, but I can't always say it, okay? And I can't promise you 5 years from now I can say it, but I want to. But now listen to me now. Pray and realize that it's in God's hand. This servant right here, he had one life to live, and his life was wrapped around pleasing his master. It's all about. And we that are saved, that should be our life. God wants us to go somewhere, go. God wants you to be a preacher, be a preacher. God wants you to stay right here, stay right here. God wants you in that seat you're in, stay there until you check out of here. Whatever God wants you to do, you just get God, and you know that you're doing what He wants you to do. That's all you're required, amen? He'll show you the rest as time goes on. Now, not only that, look in verse number 23. And he said, now you know the discourse here. Of course, he talked to Rebekah, and he realized then that everything come to pass exactly as he prayed. And look at verse number 23. And said, whose daughter art thou? Tell me, I pray thee. Is the room in thy house for us to lodge in? And she said unto him, I am the daughter of Bethuel, the son of Micah, which she bare unto Nahor. She said moreover unto him, We have both straw and provender enough to room and to lodge in. And the man bowed his head and worshiped the Lord. This servant right here, he worshiped with thankfulness. This journey will be full of surprises along the way. Don't you know this guy was bubbling inside? And I'm going to tell you what will make you bubble inside on this journey when you see exciting things happen. Amen? It just does something to you. I've got some things in Brazil I'll never forget. Some of them wasn't good. Amen? There's a few of them that wasn't good. I guess one, and I shouldn't tell it, but I will anyway, to let you know how human I really am, because I'm really human. I was when you learn a new language, you often make bad mistakes, real bad mistakes. Okay, one time I was of course wasn't there very long, and I was a preaching. I had just started after about 6 months. I had started preaching in Portuguese, and in the word for I is olho in Portuguese. Okay, the word for egg is ovo. Well, you say, that don't sound that close. Well, if it starts with the same letter, it's close. Okay? So anyway, I was preaching. When you got that right, I said, well, Lord, we need to preach. Necessitamos olhos espirituales. And that's what I said was, we need spiritual eggs. Well, that didn't go too good. And everybody started laughing. I thought, oh, no, what did I say? Because I knew I said something wrong. I knew I did. But that's not as bad as the other missionary. This here is called Sanctuary. And that's bad when you can't think of some English words. Okay? Now, the bathroom in Portuguese is called the Sanitario. And the sanctuary is called the Santuario. Santuario, Sanitario. I refuse to say that word. I refuse to say the sanctuary in Portuguese. I've never said it and never will. This one guy wasn't as smart as I am. He was dumber. And he said it. But he didn't say santuario. He said sanitario. He didn't say sanctuary. He said bathroom. So he was up there preaching. And he says, hand in hand in the bathroom. Praising God in the bathroom. Everything about that time, everybody just broke out laughing, and he knew that he had said something wrong. Well, you think about that, and you say you learn to laugh. Well, that's true, but after you cry a while, it's hard to laugh. But I got some good memories. I'm thinking about a man named Raimundo. He was a drunk. His little girl, 9-year-old, started coming to church. She got saved. Went long. Mama's come. She got saved. But Daddy, he was a good man. He worked, hard worker. But on the weekends, he got drunk. Every weekend, Saturday and Sunday, he was drunk. But you know what? A little girl coming, I said, just pray and ask God, just pray. So every Wednesday, we'd have prayer requests just like you do here. And every Wednesday, that little girl, 9-year-old girl, said, pray for Daddy. 10 years old, pray for Daddy. 11 years old, for about 3 years, almost 3 years past, pray for Daddy. Well, Daddy finally started coming to church. Well, you know the rest. Amen. Daddy gave his heart to Jesus. Amen. And I'll never forget when I baptized Raimundo. I got to baptize, and I baptized him, and I didn't get him all the way under. And he wanted to come back up. I said, So I had to push him down. And that was funny. I'll never forget that. I'm thinking about Carlos. 5 years. And he didn't come to church hardly at all. But I knowed him, and he done a lot of work for me. And he liked to drink. I mean, he got so drunk one time, all he had done was a pair of underwear going down the road. And I thought, Lord, have mercy. You said, if you'd asked me 5 years before he got saved, will this man ever get saved? I said, no way, never. But guess what? He come to the house one time. He said, preacher, said something matter with me. I said, something's the matter. I said, Carlos, the Lord's dealing with you. I'm going to tell you what's the matter. I said, you've heard the gospel too long. And I said, is that right? And he bowed it. We talked, and he bowed his head and trusted the Lord. Now, let me tell you something. I'm just saying right here. I'm glad I got some good memories. This servant You mark it down. I don't know how long he lived after this, but he had some good memories. And I'm going to tell you, we need to build memories. It's good to have family members and all that. I understand that. We're building memories with our family, but more than that, better to build memories with God. Amen? And be thankful. Now, in verse number 55, let's go on. We've got to get through with this. Verse number 55. And her brother and her mother said, "Let the damsel abide with us a few days at the latest 10. After that she shall go." And he said unto them, "Hinder me not, seeing the Lord hath prepared my way. Send me away that I may go to my master." He wanted to go. He said, "I want to go to my master." And they said, "We will call the damsel and inquire of her mouth." And they called Rebekah and said unto her, "Wilt thou go with this man?" And she said, "I will go." Don't let delayments discourage you. Amen. Along the way, there's going to be delayments. If you're going to do something for God, you're going to have problems. If you're not going to do anything for God, you're not going to have much trouble with the devil. Amen? He's not really going to bother you. I never forget an old, and when I was in Tabernacle Baptist Church and Dr. Seidler, there was an old man named Brother Cox. He's in heaven tonight as well. And he come to church one day. He was probably 85 years old at that time. And he come to church one day and he thought, "You know," he said, "you would think that the devil would leave an old man alone." He said, "I got up this morning, got dressed to come to church." And he said, "I turned around and there he was right on my shoulder." And I know what he's talking about, and you do too. 85 years old. He said, "Why does he bother an old man?" He said, I'm too old to do anything. But you know what? The devil don't give up. He tries to discourage us, and one of his discouraging ways is to delay the things that we want to do for God. Sometimes it just happens. We got to accept it. And then lastly tonight, and I'm going to close, look in verse number 63. I like this part, dear. This is kind of the icing on the cake. "And Isaac went out to meditate in the field at the evening tide, and lift up his eyes and saw, and behold, a camel was coming. And Rebekah lifted up her eyes, and when she saw Isaac, she lifted off her camel. For she had said unto the servant, 'What man is this that walketh in the field to meet us?' And the servant said, 'It is my master.' Therefore she took a veil and covered herself. And the servant told Isaac all things that had done. And Isaac brought her into the mother Sarah's tent and took Rebekah, and she became his wife, and he loved her. And Isaac was comforted after his mother's death." You know, I see this right here, the good and faithful servant. Amen? Now, I thought about this. Now, when I read the Bible, Bible characters are not super spiritual people. You for some reason, people got this idea, Bible characters all super spiritual. Wrong, okay? It's not the case. Some of them are, most of them weren't. Now, in this case right here, here's Isaac. Now, here he is meditating. Now, what if somebody, I could see him think, "Dad, you know Eliezer's crazy. What kind of woman's he bringing back? I mean, what if somebody was bringing you a wife?" I'd be meditating too, amen. I'd have bit my fingernails all the way down to my elbow. You know, wondering what am I in for? But I'm going to tell you something. God was good to him, amen. God gave her, and this here, I'm just telling you tonight, if you look at this to some degree as your spiritual life, I'm talking about the life of this servant. This servant, he feared failure. He brought the master with him. All that he could. He prayed and he realized that it's in God's hand. And when God brought things to pass, he worshiped and was thankful. Discouragement come, but he carried on and he just said, "I got to go to my master." And then when he got there, I can just think of how happy and delighted Isaac was and how proud he was of that servant. Well, when I closed my eyes in death, I hope God's proud of me. Amen. I want Him to be. I don't want to check out of here in a bad way. No way. I'd rather die. I mean this all my heart. I'm not suicidal, but I'd rather die than check out of here as a failure. Check out of here falling into sin. I'd rather die. God, take me first place. But God's not going to. You hear me? He may take you afterward, but he's not going to take you before. But I'm going to tell you something. We need to realize we're on a spiritual journey. One of these days, we're going to make it home. Amen? And when we get there, I want my master to be pleased. That's why we're doing this ministry in Beaver Dam with the Hispanics. No other Baptist is doing it. And we're just glad to be able to do something for God in these days. And pray for us and God to use us, okay? Let's pray. Father, thank you for your goodness. Thank you, Lord, for Bible characters, how they were willing and they sacrificed and they give it all. And Lord, not only Bible characters, but we see men of God and women down through the past of history that have taught and they've sacrificed and give it all for the purpose of Christ. And I guarantee you, I know there's not one of them that regrets a minute, a mile of the way. Father, I pray you bless the church. Help us, Lord, all in this journey. What a journey it is. It's exciting. Sometimes it's difficult. Lord, it's just you're in the journey, and we need you. Father, bless, and I pray in Jesus' name.